And oh, so now live. I can say hello, Internet?
Yep, we're live.
So the Internet wasn't hearing me before?
No.
Oh, what a waste.
But it will hear you. It will have heard you in the pod. I don't know.
You need to do that THX. The audience is listening.
We don't have real good time-shifting adverbs in English.
Timey-wimey things?
Yes, timey-wimey things.
You'll be happy to know my daughter is a huge Doctor Who fan.
Awesome.
So.
Oh, Jay, are you going to tell Brita?
Yes, Brita, you are right.
What? Oh, no. Say that again, slowly.
Brita, you were right. Archer is awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Dumb shit.
I should just listen to what... If Brita tells you something, you say yes.
Yes, watch the show.
There's my Ghostbuster reference.
I have good taste. You can trust me.
You're awesome. So far, you're 2 for 2, which is better than, like, anybody. She's like, Jay,
What is Firefly. The show that somebody suggested to you and you hated?
What's that?
What is the show that somebody suggested to you and you absolutely hated?
I know. For me, it's Doctor Who. Oh,
God. You hated Doctor Who?
I'm sorry. We can't do a podcast with you anymore.
Well, again.
Weird. We have to break up.
Did you see? Wait, was it pre-2005 or post-2005 Doctor Who?
To be fair, what everybody says, but again, I don't need a I don't want a series that needs a decoder ring for me to watch the episodes. Is yes, I watched the pilot for Doctor Who, and it fucking sucked, and I didn't want to watch anymore.
The pilot from 1963?
No. The it's pilot for the new one.
The new one.
Oh, yeah, the stupid
mannequins.
Oh.
Mm. That was a horrible episode.
That's what everyone tells me. And they say, all right, what you need to do is you need to jump like 2 seasons ahead, watch the first 3 episodes, then go back to like the second episode and all of that. And I'm like, hold on, let me get a spreadsheet on how the hell. No. How about I just pick other shows where I hit play on the first one. And when Netflix says, would you like to watch the next episode? I go, yes, please. May I have another? And ever so often, there might be a weak episode in there, but as a general rule, it's just going to be all rock solid good. It's not going to be, well, that fucking sucked. That was a waste of time. So, yes, I understand that there's probably some goodness to Doctor Who, but man.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I mean, also, to be fair, it's one of those I used to watch the old black and white one with, like, my grandfather on, like, whatever the UHF channel that it was that played Doctor Who.
See, and I didn't like Doctor Who until Alan got me into it. And he was very sneaky about it because it was like, it was okay. So when they did the Doctor Who reboot, they had, Christopher Eccleston and then what's his face?
Matt Smith.
No.
Tom Hiddleston.
No, it was the other guy.
Oh,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
No.
Ian McKellen. I'm just going to name British actors.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you forgot. I forgot. Anyway.
Steven Seagal.
So there was Christopher Eccleston and another guy who I can't remember his name. And then Matt Smith. So that's like 3 doctors into the series, right? So Alan felt that I really needed to watch Doctor Who, probably because he needed someone to talk to about it. But
exactly.
So he was very crafty.
David Tennant.
He was very crafty, and he made sure to pick an episode that was like right in my wheelhouse. You know,
it was like crack for Brita.
It was crack for Brita. It was the time travel, Vincent Van Gogh. The doctor and his companion travel back in time, and there's a monster, and it's Vincent Van Gogh like helps them, and there's art, and there's, you know, an emotional ending, and damn it, after that I was hooked. It was over after that.
That's kind of like me and the Left Behind series. Is wait, this thing's about the Book of Revelations, and the enemy is a Russian dude from the UN.
Perfect.
That's all I need. I'm sorry. That series is awesome. I get it. It gets a little preachy in times, and I'm not a Christian, so yeah. That sometimes gets a little bit unsettling. But you know what? In the end, I'm like, oh no. Wait, they're going to talk about how evil the UN is again, aren't they? Awesome.
Don't feel bad, weird. I'm not a Christian.
Well, you cut out, Jay.
Lost Jay.
Oh, it wasn't
sorry.
Me.
Sorry, it's rage.
Yes, the rage. You overraged the mic.
Did you say you're not a Christian, you're a Catholic?
I'm not a Christian either, at least not according to, oh, I don't know, the fucking Pope.
Yep, there you go.
That's true.
The Pope has lost me, I'm sorry.
So you're going to stop going to those damn long services?
Yeah, pretty much.
Go pretty to one much. Of those ones where they like speak in tongues and handle snakes. That at least sounds like quality entertainment.
I love when they get bit.
What was it the Pope said that got you?
Oh, well, because, you know, I work for a gun company.
I don't work for a gun company. The gun thing.
You can't be a Christian if you work for a
gun company. Right,
Even more I must be even more evil. I'm going to be ass-raping Satan at some point.
Well, you know.
Jay, don't talk about ass-raping, because ass-raping little boys isn't actually all that bad for Catholics.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, they just give you a slap on the wrist.
Move just came you to out a different your nose, city. Jay? I heard that. I heard that shit.
I'll spray it all over my keyboard.
We're all going to hell.
No. They just moved you from parish to parish.
That's right. Yeah,
it's called setting up franchise.
But I can't get in it because I like firearms.
Yep. Should have picked a different hobby, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, fucking little boys.
You know what?
Fucking little boys with single mothers. Let's be honest.
Single mothers?
Going with that.
What?
Yeah, they always pick the one. It's the same thing with Michael Jackson. You always pick the ones with the bad families. That way you can buy them off.
Yeah. and they're looking for a father figure.
We got your heaven right here.
Uh-oh. Yes.
Whoa, too loud.
Jeez.
And now that I've burst all your eardrums, it is Thursday, August 6th, 2015.
Thank you.
This is episode 162.
That's crazy.
What?
162. That's a lot of episodes.
It is
That's
a lot.
More than 3 years worth of episodes.
It is.
I must like you guys.
We've been doing this shit a long time.
I'm changing the topic in the chat room.
So
somebody else didn't.
We really should know what we're doing then.
You know what? Clearly we don't, because nobody listens live.
I know.
We get a lot of people listening to us on, like, I don't know, like downloaded or something. But
oh,
okay.
You know. Yeah, because podcasts. See. I mean, that's the reason why podcasts are popular. Yeah. Is because
the whole
people can do it with other things.
Oh, well.
Well, I just want to say that the people who do listen live, and especially the people who call in, we like you best.
That's right.
You are our
yes.
favorites. We love you very much.
I'm going to go outside of Rita's little envelope of guilt here, is pointing out that I used to listen to Penn Sunday School live, because he tends to do that live over the internet. And it is way better and way more awesome to listen to it live than listen to it recorded, you know, as it's going on. And yeah, but I got a baby. I can't fucking do that shit anymore.
Why? Because her ears will be offended? Or you're asleep?
No, because the Penn Sunday School starts is noon Las Vegas time, so which is 3 Eastern Standard Time, which means she's getting up for a nap and she wants to go to the swing set.
Oh.
Yep.
So there's no listening live.
Okay.
Because there is go, 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 as she says.
No Wi-Fi at the swing set?
Actually, swing set is just outside of Wi-Fi range.
Oh, damn it. You need an extender. Get you an antenna.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that, but no.
Oh, man.
And also, I've got a very deep lot, which allows me to get outside of Wi-Fi range, but it's a very narrow lot, so I don't want to be essentially standing in my neighbor's backyard with foul language being blasted over it.
Does your neighbor have Wi-Fi?
Yes.
But problem solved.
But again, it's a deep lot. I'm out of their Wi-Fi range too, unless they've got an extender right by a back window.
You should make a deal.
Yeah. Whatever. or I could listen to it Monday morning while I'm working.
Yeah, I can tell that I totally live in a tech savvy neighborhood, because all all of these Wi-Fis pop up and they're all protected and several of them are, you know, F off.
Yeah. Nice. I'm like,
oh, yes. I like these people.
Cool.
Curse my... My backyard's so tiny that my Wi-Fi reaches every corner. My backyard weird makes your backyard look like, I don't know, a football field.
Yeah. But again, I saw your old backyard, and so that must be awesome.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Because you used to be able to paint yard lines on your backyard.
Yes. Yes.
And have room for the benches and the bleachers.
And a soccer field, too.
Yes. And a blimp.
And a blimp. And now I can mow, rake, and clean everything off in under an hour. I like
do you
that.
Do you use a push mower?
I do. I use an electric push mower. Have a nuclear push mower.
Wait a minute. No.
Yeah. I'm with Brita here. What the fuck?
Electric push mower.
It's battery powered. It has a rechargeable battery.
Are your arms
No, but that's like saying I've got an electric straight razor. I mean, it just does not compute.
Are your arms broken? I don't understand. Does not compute. No.
Does it? Do you have a long extension cord, or does it use a battery?
Oh, I get it. No, guys, it's not like an electric straight razor. It's like the electric safety razors. He flips it on and it just vibrates left or right.
Oh no!
It's not a reel mower. R-E-E-L. With the blades, yeah. the curved blades. It's a regular looking lawnmower that has a rechargeable battery. So I charge it up.
You do not have an electric push mower, Jay. You have an electric lawnmower.
Yes.
It's just.
I say push mower because in a previous life I had a riding mower.
I understand that.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the one that has the little like. Combine yeah. barrel.
When you push it, the wheels cause the blades to spin around.
Yeah, it goes.
That's a real mower.
Yep, I've got one.
Yeah, the problem with real mowers is that you have to. You can't let the grass grow very
tall.
No,
you can't.
And I didn't want to buy two lawnmowers, and I knew I would have wound up buying two lawnmowers.
Yep. I have my.
How many lawnmowers do you have, Alan?
I have two. I have the gas one and I have the real mower, but it's kind of neat because I can go out if the, you know, like in the middle of the summer, like right now when the grass isn't growing very much, I go out once a week and just whoosh around the backyard and I'm done with, and it's quiet. I don't have to listen to, you know.
Oh, by the way, because Vector, who listens in his car because he doesn't want to stay up and listen to us, I guess. I actually never really got his reason why he doesn't listen live. But he is listening right now, and I wanted to point out that he has a corded electric mower.
I've seen those.
And he was very disappointed when one point we showed up to his house after he had bought it for – he had owned it for about a month at that time, and money was suddenly exchanged. And he goes, why are you guys handing money back and forth? Was because I bet a mutual friend of ours $20 that he couldn't get through mowing his lawn the first time without cutting the cord off that thing. I lost $20, but his offense was worth it.
That's why I don't have a plug-in mower. I do, however, have a plug-in hedge trimmer, and I know I'm going to kill me an electric cord. I know it.
I have a plug-in weed whacker.
Yeah, I have one of those too.
And I got the cord, but the cord was fine.
I used a corded weed whacker, and those things fucking suck. And I've got a battery-powered weed whacker, and that thing fucking sucks.
Why do they suck?
I just don't like dealing with the cord, and I found that like you just the place where the cord plugs in, like since you ever often like tugging at the extreme range of it and all that, that just. Ugh.
I love weed whacking.
So what I want is call-in topic. All right. I'm just gonna make this is gonna be my segment. My segment is because my daughter rode on a pony today. It was adorable.
Yeah. Oh,
did you get pictures?
Pictures?
Pictures. Tons of
blog
pictures.
Blog pictures?
I haven't put them up on the blog yet.
Oh, get to you suck. Hop to it.
I've been stupid busy today.
You know she's gonna want one now.
Well, then I will get her. I will
happy with a Nutria. Don't ask me how I know.
I will get her a can of Alpo, and she can have her pony.
There you go.
Jay, you didn't get it.
I did.
What? Yeah, I did. I just chose to ignore it. Besides, it's Elmer's, not Alpo.
Okay. But the I think Alpo still made a horse meat.
Or Jell-O.
Yep.
That's right.
Jell-O.
My coworker came up with an awesome Yo Mama joke.
Let's
Yo Mama's so ugly, Bill Cosby gave her coffee.
Oh.
Ooh. Ouch.
That's pretty bad.
That's brutal. So, but yeah, no, call-in topic. Can somebody tell me a good four-stroke gas-powered string trimmer?
There are none.
Because I don't want to get a two-stroke one because that would be the only thing using two-stroke fuel, and I've got a teeny tiny yard, and so I would end up having to pay disposal fees on rotten two-stroke fuel.
There are none.
There are none?
You're not going to find a four-stroke string trimmer.
Why not?
Because the engine weighs too much for too little power.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
I got a battery-powered one that works pretty well.
There you go. Get you a battery. No,
it actually takes the same battery as the blower, which is just awesome.
Wait, are you talking about the Black & Decker ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, that's what I've got, and it actually works really well. That's not the problem. It's got a lot of good power and all. It's as good as any other electric one that I've had. But the problem I've got is like the batteries just do not hold a charge.
That's why I got two things that have the same battery. I've always got one to swap off.
Well, the problem is like, so yes, it's the dog days of summer. It's been 2 weeks since I've mowed my lawn. I'm actually going to have to tomorrow plug in the batteries so I can give them a little bit of a boost charge so that when I mow the lawn on Saturday morning, it'll, and the spring could have it. Otherwise whoosh. it'll just.
Someone's sending email.
Yeah, I should have killed the sound on that. Sorry.
So yeah, so nobody makes a good four-stroke string trimmer because there's a bunch of people that make them, but I keep hearing that they're terrible.
Because the four-stroke is too big.
Two strokes too many.
Well, no, it's just that the power you get from the power to weight ratio is so low that it just doesn't work right.
So can I get a phased plasma string trimmer in the 40-watt range?
Just for you seeing the case, pal.
No. I know what you want. You want one of those high power lasers that just kind of pops up and spins around and shaves off everything and then disappears.
Well, no. What I want is to be able to use my blowtorch on the rest of the yard.
Oh, okay.
I use that on the sidewalks, and that was originally started as a completely foolish drunken behavior. I got shit faced and decided I wanted to play with fire, and went, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to burn all the weeds in the cracks of my sidewalk and driveway, and I'll be damned, they didn't come back.
Did you use it like in the snow and ice too?
No, I never did. I used a splitting maul.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, clearly we need lightsabers for this shit.
Yes. Yeah, no, hedge trimming would be so awesome.
It would. Lights. You could be like an artist and then cut your leg off.
Oh, it smell! It would smell really good too.
You know that's got to be one of like the number one occupational hazard for Jedis is like
cutting a limb off.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, that was always the joke I had when I saw the episode one was that no other culture has a double ended sword.
Ever.
There's a lot of people that have stabs, but that's not bladed or like even a double-ended spear or something like that, but not something that is essentially a 2-foot handle with a 3-foot sword blade on either side of it. Why? Right. Because you start swinging that around, you're going to cut yourself in half, which is what happened to him. Obi-Wan should have just waited.
Yeah.
Just fucking put up a little forest bubble around himself and smoked a cigarette until he cut himself in half. Yeah.
And we've completed the nerd segment for this evening.
Two for
Yay!
One.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Jay.
Jay's got some good ones.
I already done gone. I went first.
Oh,
and then right. Alan went second, piggybacking on my first. So it's just breed in Jay now.
I called this segment Why I Hate Idiots.
Yeah.
There is
this could take a while.
I'm going to focus on one very specific idiot. particularly one Akil Awan, who is a associate professor at Royal Holloway, University of London, who proposes...
You know what? That- wait. Time out just a second. You know that's probably like a little community college somewhere. Because it's like something
Fonte Hill.
Yeah, something you've never heard of.
Community College over in England.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So, anyway, his hypothesis is that the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were terrorist acts.
And does he, in fact, not know the definition of terrorist?
Apparently not. Or warfare or history or, you know, pretty much anything.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just a show of power to Japan. Just a show of power to Russia.
I've heard that bullshit before.
Because Russia was on our side. Jackass.
Well, actually, by the end of World War II, everybody that was anybody pretty much knew Russia would be the next big enemy. That was a foregone conclusion. So, I mean, it's not inconceivable that showing Russia was a secondary consideration.
But
if it was primary, they could have done that. You know, hey, look at us blowing up this bomb in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was not the point.
Well, that was John Stewart, which feeds into the same thing.
Oh, he's an idiot too.
John Stewart, who hypothesized we should have fired a warning shot. I shit you not. Yes, we spent billions of dollars. We smuggled German scientists out from Nazi Germany so we could fire a round into the dirt. You fucking nitwit.
And we only had 4 bullets at the time.
Yeah. One of them we tested.
Yeah.
One of them, what was it?
Just to see if it'd work. Holy shit.
The first one was, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
The second one, what was the second one?
The second one was the uranium gun bomb.
Yes. And then we had Fat Man and Little Boy.
And Fat Man was the one on Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Which was very similar.
Japan was just about to surrender.
No, they weren't.
Anyway, well, you know, except for the fact that they told us they weren't going to.
Right.
And when offered repeated chances to surrender, they declined.
Yep.
Other than all of recorded human history, we should have done something different.
Yeah. Ignore the facts. They don't matter.
The fact that we are still using Purple Hearts from World War II because we had so many made up because we thought we'd need them.
Yeah, I think they ran out a few years ago.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, they up until like the 90s or something, I think they were still working on Purple Hearts made in 1944 because they were afraid
we were going to need them. They were those dudes in the caves in the, what was it, 70s? How late were some of those guys?
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I saw that on Gilligan's Island.
Seriously, how late was one of those like Japanese infantry guys?
It was like in the 70s.
Yeah, it was 70s. There was one they found in the 70s at some point on some island.
Was it the Philippines?
Yeah, one of those little islands out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
He was living on snakes and lizards and stuff. And
killing villagers.
Yeah.
He was the
Cecil Lion of the Philippines.
Oh, God. Can we talk about Cecil the fucking
Not
Lion?
Yet.
Okay. It could be part of my segment because there's a lot of idiots
involved.
We're still
talking about the nuclear.
There's a lot of people that are talking about how sad Cecil the Lion died who had no fucking clue about Cecil the Lion, who Cecil the Lion was, until they read that he had died.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Well, so, you know, just this, we'll quickly conclude the yes, Nagasaki was an act of terrorism. Never mind that we were actively at war with the country we dropped a bomb on.
Yeah.
We dropped what? Hundreds of thousands of pounds of normal ordnance
on
Japan.
Oh, we did that
Japan.
Too.
What's that?
We did that too.
So all of warfare is terrorism.
We actually did more damage firebombing cities in Japan than the nuclear bombs did. It's just that those two were like.
Yeah. And didn't Dresden do more than like both of them to combined?
Oh yeah, that was worse.
But nobody cares about Dresden. They just care about the fucking nuke.
Well, they bitch about Dresden too. There are people that call the firebombing of Dresden a terrorist act or a war crime or something like that because civilians died. And, well, guess what? And
that is why I fear for our future. Yeah. Because guess what? The people that hate us have no problem using violence to achieve their means.
No, they don't care. Don't worry, Jay.
We'll eat them like the snakes and lizards.
That's why I'm kind of upset at this whole irrational fear of nuclear stuff we have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the people are like, oh, nuclear bombs are so horrible. Well, you know what? How many, you know, if you look at the energy difference, look at the energy of, say, like your average, you know, hurricane. You could set off hundreds of hydrogen bombs and still not equal the energy of a hurricane. So, you know, other than the radiation aspect.
Who's being attacked by crickets?
Me.
Are you okay, Brita? Do you need assistance?
Go get Myra.
I'm okay.
I was Myra's falling down on the job.
That's right.
She's asleep. Yeah, we have a lot of crickets outside the window.
We have a call.
Oh, wow.
It's MDev.
Yay, it's the MDev segment.
I know that dude. He's building a deck.
We need a MDev theme song.
We do.
MDev. That's all I got. Sorry.
I can't hear you, MDev. Can you?
I'm going to let Jay keep singing because, you know, I'm being serenaded over here.
Please don't.
The man they call MDev.
Oh, God.
Let me try, Jay. Beans and snot. Brita eats beans and snot.
Yeah. I don't think Weird has not seen the video yet.
There's a video of you eating beans and snot?
It was Facebook
there
only.
Is. Yes.
Your hair looks awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to see the awesome hair, so you got to link the video, Brita.
I'm putting it on the blog. We have a blog at sqrpt.com.
Yeah, but nobody reads that. Blogging's dead, Brita.
Well, I'm gonna put the link. It's on my YouTube channel now. I put part one on my YouTube channel.
Speaking of the blog,
yes,
I got a funny email yesterday from
someone. Email.
Yes,
awesome.
And it was to the. I forget who it was. It was sent to
the Squirrel Master
admin@squirrel.squirp.com telling me that he was a domain registrar in China.
No.
And that somebody had tried to register squirp.com.ca and squirp.com, you know, all these Chinese domains, and wanted to make sure that we didn't own a copyright or a trademark in China for squirp.com. Mm-hmm. And I was like, delete.
Yeah. Don't click delete.
Do they have trademarks in China?
Who the fuck knows?
We're huge in China.
Well, I mean, because you heard they're putting government agents inside the tech companies now to make sure that they're playing nice.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's for.
You know, like, they're not even hiding it. They're, like, saying, build us an office.
Well, they did shut down a bunch of companies that were making counterfeit Apple products. So I guess, you know.
By chance, before they closed the door, did you get your knockoff ice watch?
No.
What? Is that me?
No.
Yeah. So I have a story of bureaucracy to tell for you all.
Yay. Okay.
So without revealing too much, but I will reveal enough. I think it's pretty well known that I work for a major transit agency. And like most municipal transit agencies, we do not have enough parking for our people, for our riders. So last year in 2014, they tried a pilot program to, like, get some reserved parking spaces. You know, like you pay and get a parking pass and whatever, right? Well, the pilot program was so successful after they paid to take out all the signs that they paid to put in. The parking pilot program was so successful that they announced yesterday they're going to hold public meetings so they could possibly start issuing permits by 2016 or early 2017.
Ugh. Wait.
The pilot program in 2014 was so successful, they're hoping to get some lines painted and signs put up by late 2016 or early 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much time to print a sign.
Super successful.
Well, they painted all these parking spaces like different colors for, you know, if you were a carpool person or a single occupant person. And then when the pilot program was over, they paid a crew to go in and power wash all the paint off and return them to normal parking space.
Oh no. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. No, not at all.
So instead of just keeping it going and going, hey, this works great, let's keep it going, they stopped.
Oh, no, it was only a pilot program.
Oh, God.
Again, the any question is, I mean, when I was going to college, my freshman year, they started construction on a new student union. And there was a student union fee attached to every semester's tuition bill. And it got completed, I think, 2 years after I graduated. And in the meantime, now granted, this was a very nice, very large student union, but it also, you know, was not the whatever the fuck you call that, like skyscraper in Dubai. So, and you know, just it's one of those things. It's just I just remember seeing like a Walmart go up in my hometown in 6 months.
And like, oh, yeah. Well, don't
it was
worry.
One of those like, Jesus, they just put up a whole goddamn Walmart. They're da 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 da. Yeah, no, bureaucracy is just full of crap.
Private sector.
Yes, we just gave the bid to the lowest bidder. They immediately went into cost overruns and immediately stopped working.
Wait a minute, weird.
That sounds sounds like the new construction at the library.
Yep. Geez, is it being paid by public funds, or are you a private library?
Yeah. Okay.
Private for-profit library.
That's called the internet.
Yeah. Brita says, you're going to take out these books. I'm going to need some collateral. The Willoughby Library and Pawn Shop.
Take them.
The Willoughby Library. Man, that would be, endless racks of DVDs.
There was a great article in the National Review today about Venezuela and how miserable it is there because of the socialism and all, and how nothing works right and everything's all fucked up and nobody has.
Well, everything works perfectly because that's how socialism works.
And the guy writing the article, and it was like I wish more people could understand this. You know, it's like. And he says, government-run schools in Philadelphia fail for the same reason as government-run groceries in Caracas. Central planning is an impossibility. And it's like that is the essence of government failure at everything it does. And I'm going to have to hang up on you, MimDev, because you're making too much damn noise.
I think he's actually doing whippets.
It sounded like it, didn't it?
Oh, God.
And how do you know what whippets sound like, Jay?
What's
right.
that?
He overheard.
Duh! Nitrous!
Yeah, no, Jay doesn't know what whippets sound like because he's a fucking biochemist, which means he would just steal a tank of nitrous oxide from the lab.
There you go.
Do straight hits.
Though, to be fair, I don't know if your lab, any of your labs had the same story, but I heard that that one lab, you know, the pure ethanol was going missing.
Ooh.
And so they just decided. Yeah. So I believe the culprit was one of the janitors had figured out which alcohol was the kind that if you mixed with a little bit of water, essentially made vodka.
Hey.
And they said, well, you know what? We're doing most of this for titration. So let's add a little phenolphthalein to it.
Oops.
What's that?
And then it stopped disappearing. It happens to be an indicator solution of acid or base, but it also happens to make you shit water if you drink too much of it.
Oh, no.
Other than that, it's completely benign. I did used to go in and take hits off the oxygen line when I was...
Oh, God, I did that once. Oh, my God. That was actually after a vicious circle. the vicious circle of which Obama had won the presidency, and I was just throwing drink after drink after drink down. Yeah. And I woke up the next morning so fucking hungover, and I'm like halfway through the workday, I'm like, I'm going to need to throw up. And the only restroom we had was a public restroom. And I said, I know that I'd be down on all fours, retching my guts up into this toilet, and somebody's going to walk in and see me retching my guts up into the toilet and then see me not go home sick and realize, oh, I could put two and two together. Yep. He was severely hungover. And so I'm just like, oh, what the fuck am I going to do? And I just decided, you know what? I got a ton of paperwork to do in the lab. I brought it into the surgical suite and cracked an oxygen bottle so it was spraying directly onto my face. And 10 minutes later, I felt awesome.
Oh, yeah. That'll wake you up for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it was essentially, Brita, it got rid of all the hangover symptoms. I was just really fucking tired.
Interesting.
Brita's crickets are not impressed.
It's really weird with the iPhone microphone, because I'm using my earbuds with the iPhone, and I am really far away from that window, but those crickets apparently are pretty loud for you.
Brita, as your attorney, I advise you to get drunk and break out the blowtorch.
For the crickets?
Sure.
No, capture them and stick Myra on them.
Well, we were hunting bugs already today. She got a worm and a big fat slug.
I don't think either of those count as bugs.
She loves slugs so much. They are her number one food.
Really?
You're telling me she'll eat politicians?
Yes. If they are soft and squidgy and found in the garden.
She really, really likes them, though. Trump. That is both adorable and fucking awesome, because I didn't think anyone enjoys those nasty ass things.
She has like a hierarchy of bugs. She likes slugs the best. Pill bugs next, and then earthworms.
Where do crickets fit in?
Oh, crickets are special because I actually have to buy those, so they're kind of in a different category. Crickets and mealworms are different categories. It's like she knows that these are not outside bugs; these are inside bugs. So she will not eat mealworms like outside. If I try to give her mealworms outside, she won't eat them.
Huh.
She's very smart and a brat. She is absolutely a brat. So, crickets and mealworms, she likes them both. But they're inside bugs.
Okay. Will she eat a slug inside?
Oh yeah. She'll eat a slug. Yes. Anytime.
Any way you can get it to her.
Yeah.
Oh, she's such a sweetie.
She is. She's very fun. And, yeah, she has her specific rules for bugs. I don't know. She's been holding out on me. I've been trying to feed her like chicken and some berries and some of her calcium powder. And she's holding out because she knows that I'll take her outside and give her like, you know, wild bugs.
She's not dumb.
No, I know she's not dumb. But she drives me crazy because I'm like, come on, you have to eat.
Stubborn turtle.
And technically speaking, I mean, as a reptile, her metabolism is almost nothing. So no, she does not have to eat.
She does.
She just needs to eat heavily at one point in time and then get really goddamn logy for another
week.
Well,
she ate, the other day she ate like 25 crickets.
Yeah. That is definitely, let me find a warm rock to sleep on for a week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's like the people that have the big snakes. You throw a full grown rabbit into it, and the Burmese python will choke the life out of it, eat it, and then just sleep for a month.
Yeah, curl up and sleep for a while and not move under the heat lamp.
Speaking of food,
good segue.
Brita cooks slugs.
I posted a link on the Squirrelport blog. I had like kind of a food adventure this week. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a thing called natto, but they are fermented soybeans, cultured, you know, with like a bacterial culture. Now, you know, like bacterial culture is not like a, it's not like a weird thing in our, you know, in Western foods. We have cheese and we have yogurt and sauerkraut and, you know, it's not like completely foreign, but these beans, I tell you what, they were pretty much the weirdest thing I've ever eaten. And that's saying a lot because I, you know, I'll try most anything. But if you watch a video, okay, so the beans are like really slimy and you mix them up and you pick them up and it's like soybeans and snot. It really is. I mean, go to the blog, watch the video. Soybeans and snot.
I've seen the video.
It's, I don't know. I like cultured foods because, you know, I'm all about like.
But what do they taste like?
Nothing. They taste like nothing.
Oh, that sucks.
It really was. You know what? I kind of researched them before I bought them and I thought, well, okay. You know, I like stinky cheese and, you know, it's not a big deal. And they tasted like nothing. I was really disappointed that they didn't taste like at least like a stinky cheese kind of flavor, or it was just kind of like a bland bean in slime.
Well, that sucks, especially since I have just recently got into mixing drinks with sherry. And I have a bottle of Montelato. It's actually my second bottle of Montelato because the first one's almost gone. And yeah, that's going the whole, like, the Amontillado specifically has, like, the floor cap over the top of the barrel of just
Wait,
this.
What? It's, like, fermented or?
Yeah, yeah, it is a specific varietal of wine, and I'm not a wine geek. I'm not a cork dork, so it's not going to be, so I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what the type of wine it is. But yeah, then it is put into a barrel that has a bacterial mat growing in it.
Oh,
and it's
like
one of those,
kombucha.
And yeah, exactly. And how, yeah. The sherries with the floor on the top. There's a couple of different varieties of it, which I can't name all of them. But
I had no idea about that.
Is they have like three barrels stacked on top of each other, and they drain from one barrel to the next, to the next, to the next, so that there's always a little bit of sherry going on. They never fully empty any of the barrels ever.
Yeah, it's like a sourdough kind of culture, right? So
exactly, yeah. Because if they emptied it out completely, there'd be no moisture for the bacteria to survive on, and all of that. And then they give it a little hit of brandy to kill the bacteria in the bottles so that it doesn't, you know, do awful things.
I have no idea. That's really interesting.
But I got to tell you, this Amontillado is really fucking cool stuff. Like, it is really, really savory. Is the best description of it.
Savory.
Yeah,
and it's a wine, a savory sort of wine.
Yeah, yeah. I've been using it as a substitute for dry vermouth if dry vermouth is just a little too sweet.
Huh. Well, I certainly cannot even recommend the natto, the fermented soybeans. I can't.
All the texture of snot with none of the flavor?
Not even. It's not even. You would have to add, you know, like salt and soybean, soy sauce and, you know, all sorts of flavors to make it palatable. It's just nothing. It tastes like nothing. Except.
Wait, your boogers taste like soy sauce?
No, I'm just saying it has less flavor than boogers. So to make it even like as palatable as boogers, you'd have to add stuff.
The savory treat of boogers?
It's ridiculous. So, but it's like a, I guess it's like a textural food because it's very slippery and I don't want to go there, but it's
slower.
I'm not going there.
Going out of that one.
Okay. It's no, I'm not even going to say it. I'm sure you could all, you know, figure out what I'm trying to say. Just no. People eat it in Japan for breakfast, and I don't even know how you start your day with that. I don't.
There's some weird stuff. A friend of mine from Japan told me that that people sometimes eat rice with green tea poured over it as a breakfast food.
I can get with that.
Jeez, that sounds interesting. No, it sucks.
What? Why?
It's really bland. It's just lame. It's like plain cream of wheat. Who fucking does that?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
So folks, just stick to eating boogers. It's cheaper and tastes better.
Yeah, pretty much. I have to give the warning because I ate my natto and I thought, I'm going to eat this and it's got protein. It's got with the rice, it's got a little carbohydrates. I'm going to eat this and go to the gym. No, do not do that. Oh my God. I had to leave the gym. I had the worst gas pains in my stomach ever. Do not eat fermented soybeans before going to the gym. It was horrible. Worst. So that's my food experiment for the week.
Oh, Brady, you wasted a perfectly good opportunity. Look at the muscle heads as you're lifting your bench press bar. Go sup, and then as you get to full extension, just fucking let out a butt trumpet. Just
no. Oh, God, it was awful. Anyway,
as a teaser for the Wet Hot American Summer that's on Netflix, that's awesome, is great line of the "What's that in your nose?" Awesome.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
So good.
Is this up there with like Zombiever?
No. It's a movie made by essentially the people that were in the state, and it was a movie made in like the late 90s, I think it was, when the only star in it was Janine Garofalo. Like Janine Garofalo was the big money making pull. Yeah. And now Janine Garofalo is the one person that's not like at the peak of their game is the washed up has been. Like they've just like it's just when my wife and I were watching the first one, she was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe there's all these big names in it." And I'm like, "Yeah, but they were nobody back then." And now it's now the other way around. Now it's all these huge names and why'd they drag Janine Garofalo into this? They could have taken her out behind the barn and shot her.
I do have a easy recipe of the week.
Ooh, I like your easy recipes.
It's super easy. It's also another two ingredient recipe. Except you have to make it and then wait. Sauerkraut is cabbage and salt. And also super beneficial for, bacteria wise, like for your intestines and digestion and whatever. Probiotic. So what you do is you cut up a medium head of green cabbage and you use about a tablespoon and a half of kosher salt and you massage the salt into the cabbage.
Okay. Are you trying to bruise it up pretty good?
Yeah, you bruise it up with the salt and you massage it in there and then the cabbage starts releasing its liquid and you pack it into a jar. And then you cover the jar with like something that will keep, the bugs out and whatever, and let it ferment. And there you go, sauerkraut. It's really that easy. I love sauerkraut. I put it on hot dogs.
How long does it take?
It depends on your taste. Like if you like a stronger flavor sauerkraut, let it go longer. I don't know. Try maybe like a week.
Interesting.
I would say a week. But you have to make sure that like you keep pressing the cabbage down so that as it releases the liquid covers the cabbage. So you have like, it's almost like a, an airlock. It keeps the air away from the actual cabbage. Okay. So you know what I mean? So you keep pressing it down into your jar or whatever. And then you just, keep it out of direct sunlight and keep it somewhere cool. And let it ferment, and it will bubble, and it will do its thing, and it's delicious.
Bubble in doesn't squeak.
Yeah.
Do the bubbles stink?
It's really good.
Are the bubbles stinky?
No. I mean, it smells like sauerkraut.
Yeah, but I'm just saying whatever area that, whatever back of, dark closet that you put it is doesn't smell like cabbage farts.
Not really.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. It has to go through
your system before it smells like a cabbage fart.
Yeah.
I do love me some sauerkraut.
There you go. It's really easy. And I made it for the first time a couple months ago, and it was the best sauerkraut I ever had. And it's, you eat the good sauerkraut and you have, healthy movements the next day. So
talk about the beer making cabbage sauerkraut making crossover.
Oh, I got all geeky. I got all geeky about the sauerkraut because, I do that. I love experimenting with food and, doing all that sort of stuff. So I read all about sauerkraut before I made it. I mean, it's like the simplest thing in the world, but of course I had to study it. Right. So, I learned that, one of the best ways to make sauerkraut is get an airlock and make this whole kit and blah, blah, blah. So I actually had to go to a place where you can buy beer brewing supplies. And the guy sold me airlocks, and I, I told him what I was doing with it. And because I only bought two little airlocks for my two little jars. And the airlocks are cool. You pour a little water in it, and it keeps, the gases escape and nothing gets in. And, it's pretty neat. And it's like a science experiment on your kitchen counter, essentially. And I have lacto-fermented carrots and sauerkraut and garlic. I want to do pickles next. So it's a simple thing. And I don't know. It's good for you. So there's my food report for the week.
Because we're all walking bacteria cultures.
Yes, Alan. Oh, say that. That's really interesting to me.
What? Oh, yeah, because they've done studies that say there's think of all the cells you have in your body, right? And they've looked at bacteria that lives in people, and they say that there's however many cells there are in your body, there are 10 times that many bacteria. So yeah. You are more bacteria than you are you.
Next time you're chilling, really, I can talk a little shop about what we do.
Really? We are nothing but mobile ambulatory bacteria reefs.
Bacteria reefs.
We are like the reefs in the ocean. We are ambulatory homes for bacteria cultures.
I am a reef on the wind.
That's yes, right. you totally are.
Actually, as an interesting tidbit, I've read some interesting studies that state that quite possibly the reason why when chicks all start living in one place, their flows sync up.
It's because of bacteria. Yep.
They start sharing their bacteria cultures, and they get the same bacteria culture, and that syncs up their flows.
Yeah, they're starting to find out that a lot of stuff that goes on in humans and, well, other animals too, is because of interactions with bacteria. Kind of cool. You probably know more about that than I do, actually. I'm sure you
do. Tons, actually.
I think it's cool. It's like a symbiotic thing. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
They're like replicants.
And that doesn't even get into the other creatures that live on you.
Mites. Eyelash mites. Yeah, eyelash those mites are my favorite.
Oh yeah, those are awesome. I love those. And all the other things.
In Jay and Alan's case, chiggers.
Chiggers.
Not at the moment.
Fire ants.
Yeah, fire ants sometimes. They don't live on you very long, though. Smack.
No.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because if fire ants could just not bite you, they'd be okay. Yes. But it's like they can't.
I would be happy to let them live.
They just have to bite you. They can't not bite you. It's funny. It's like an instinct. It must be like a instinctive reaction or something.
Well, of course, you got to remember that with colonial insects like ants and stuff like that, you know, termites and wasps and all that, you really can't consider that, even though they are individuals by our standard, you really got to think of them as just like organelles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not that individualistic.
Is the worker bee stinging you and then dying is very similar to the white blood cell eating the infectious bacteria and dying.
Yep. Cool.
All right. Topics. Can we get to topics?
Yes.
Do we really call it quits?
No, come on, let's go over.
Yeah, we've
what the
we've
hell? Talked.
We can go over. Come sure. on. We'll give people 50% more podcast for the same price. Now with more.
As long as we're not hitting dead air and everybody's going, then we can keep going.
Yeah. Speaking of bacteria, let's talk about transgendered.
Transgendered bacteria?
Are we transphobic on this show?
Oh, I am not at all. But when it comes to the... As soon as you start like cutting yourself up, no, sorry, I don't see you as any different than like Stalking Cat. Was he in Ohio?
He's dead.
Dude. He is dead. But well, when he died, was he in Ohio? Was that an Ohio thing?
I'm not in charge of that. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, but it's the anorexics that weigh, you know, 55 pounds and keep saying that they're such a fat pig. It's one of those like,
yeah, they're crazy.
No. Yeah. No,
you're crazy.
I mean, like, well, to tie in I'm talking about the Ben Shapiro getting assaulted on the Dr. Drew show by,
yeah.
What the hell is this person's name?
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's not even worth saying.
It's not even worth it.
Some transgender bully.
But to go on, when I was watching the clip of the show, they started off with whatever Bruce Jenner's become into.
Zoe Tour? I don't know.
Yeah, is that Zoe or Zooey? Does Zooey exist, or is that just a weird spelling of Zoe?
I'm going to say Zoe. Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it started off with, like, the now Caitlyn Jenner accepting this award and realized that Bruce Jenner has done so much fucking work to his face and body that, like, he sounded like he had been pounding, you know, martinis since like 6 that previous morning. Like he was just slurring and mumbling his way through it. And I've heard him speak before, and that's not, you know,
well,
he's
his
not
face
Larry
doesn't
Flynn.
Work anymore.
That's it. No. That's exactly it. His face doesn't work, and he's got the collagen injections in his lips and all this stuff. Is he just blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Is what else? No, that's what's wrong. No, what you did was wrong. If you start modifying things so that they look good but don't work anymore, no, it's not okay. You need to have whatever is wrong with you fixed with counseling and medication.
Shark treatment.
Yeah, but I mean, what I wanted to get into this was watching this whole like, you know, Zooey tour, assaulting Ben Shapiro was the fact that you know Zooey tour. You know, is a male-bodied person who would like us to say that he is a woman, but yet he's behaving very much as a man in this.
Yes.
Is, you know, and I sent Bria an email because I'm just like, I just need to make sure. Let me check in with someone who has ovaries just to make sure I'm not way off base. But I have never, ever seen a woman who's just – you know, I mean, you know, Ben Shapiro's being a bit of an ass. You know, Ben Shapiro's definitely...
he's a jerk. Yeah.
He's definitely rubbing salt in some wounds and all that, which gets him paid big bucks, so God bless him. You know, but he's intentionally being an ass. He's intentionally rubbing salt in wounds. And I've never seen a woman, you know, grab somebody forcefully and then threaten their life.
No.
Oh. No, that's not necessarily true. I've seen Brita threaten to cut people.
I have not.
I'll cut you. Really? I'll fight you or I'll cut you?
I do not do the... Well, anyway. No, just
it's
the body language. If you watch that exchange between Ben Shapiro and this Zooey Tour,
no,
is...
I am joking.
I'm nice, usually.
And Brita, when you're mean, you're not mean like this. When you get angry entirely differently than this.
Yeah, yeah, I do. And
when my wife gets angry, she gets angry entirely differently than this.
Right.
But yet, there has been absolutely a time when I have gotten angry, and I have and I have said, you know what? If we keep going down this road, I'm going to break your nose.
Right. And I never have.
I'm not proud of that. That's not a nice thing to say. That's not a good thing to say. And let's just be honest here. You know, Zoe Tor was openly saying, "Oh, you know what? My argument's complete bullshit because the only thing I've got is to threaten the well-being of the person who's arguing against me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And then even after that exchange between Zoe Tor and Ben Shapiro, Zoe Tor like doubled down and said, "Oh yeah, I was threatening him, and oh yeah, I would like to hurt him," and you know, all this bravado kind of, you know, stuff.
Machismo.
Yes, thank you. That's a good word for it. And women will talk smack. Women will talk smack. But it is of a different nature than wanting to take somebody out and curb stomp them, which I think is a term that Zoe Tor used for Ben Shapiro.
Yes, I can confirm that.
So, okay. I don't know if it's because you're so like for such a long time in your life that you're stuck in kind of this man mindset and you have like this, you know, male culture thing, or if it's just an ingrained thing. That's how men are. I don't know.
Well, let's also add into the interesting fact is that, you know, Ben Shapiro is a very slight gentleman.
I know. I'm looking at the picture right now and it really looks like this transgender person is bigger than Ben Shapiro.
Considerably bigger.
Well, that kind of brings up that link you sent earlier, Brita, about the Ronda. What's her name?
Rousey.
Mm-hmm. And the social justice warriors going off on her because she doesn't think transgendered men that are pretending to be women should be able to fight in female MMA matches.
I agree with that.
Her point is because they're still men.
Well, I mean, let's go even further. Is you've got I don't follow golf at all. It's a waste of a perfectly good shooting range, but there's a couple of women in the WPGA or whatever the hell it's called who constantly say, "Oh, you know, we should compete in the PGA," and they're some of the top ranked women, you know, women golfers in the world. And when the PGA says, "Yeah, go ahead, go and play with the big boys," mm-hmm. they get their asses kicked, and they can only beat like some of the top ranked amateurs,
right,
in the golfing field. And of course, also, you know, I mean, that's part of the whole reason why I advocate for firearm use is, hey, guess what? In every martial arts competition, what do? They always divide them up by weight class and gender.
Right.
Right.
And
now,
so
to make it fair, people who are. I don't want to make this a pro anti thing, but people who are supporting the transgender community, especially in athletics, are saying that once a man starts taking female hormones, he loses muscle mass and bone density. And so therefore it's comparable to being a real woman.
But not a real woman the whole life. I mean, one thing I have heard, which actually kind of freaks me out just by the nature of it, but evidently there have been some places in Europe where people have undergone gender reassignment before they hit puberty, which again,
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Are you that aware of yourself that you can make such a decision?
Wow.
And those people, if it's a man, you know, transitioning into a woman, they are evidently very much indistinguishable. Let's put it this way. Zoe Tor, it didn't take me very long to figure out, oh yeah, no, that person was once a man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you do it before puberty, where essentially we're all kind of asexual.
Right.
It keeps a lot of the secondary sex characteristics from actually happening. So maybe then we could talk. But again, I mean, you've just got all these like wiring stuff that goes way deeper than that, that the genders aren't just so simple as like a penis and testicles or a pair of ovaries.
Well, where do you draw the line on something like that? You know?
Yeah. That's the whole point is I'm saying that like,
cause if
whatever Zoe Tor has, Zoe Tor is behaving as a man.
Yes.
In this instance, very much so as a man.
Well, he's
bigger than Ben Shapiro, yeah. And he's using his size to go all that. I mean, there's some big old sassy black ladies who are not going to like behave. They'll be aggressive. They'll be assertive, but they aren't going to be that, you know, that in that machismo.
He's a crazy man in a dress.
Yes. That's
Klinger.
Yes, exactly.
That is my point is, again, this is saying it from the stay-at-home mom who has a beard is, you know, no, I do all the cooking. I clean the toilets while my daughter was napping today. You know, go me. I do not give a shit about gender roles or gender norms. And I don't care what you do or what you dress. I'm good friends with Jay, who wears a skirt regularly and all of that. I am not going to judge anybody on that instance, but I do have a hard time suddenly someone saying I am a woman, you know, when they are, you know, 6'2" and 250 pounds and have a very heavy muscular build. Well, and are going to be acting like a cock swinging dude when I point out that they're a crazy person in a dress.
Especially when there is athletic competition and money involved.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you get into issues about, well, how come this is okay, but like steroids aren't? You know, where do you draw the line? At what
I would argue that steroids should just be fucking okay.
It's like, where do you draw the line?
If Babe Ruth had blown his rotator cuff, his career would have been fucking over. Versus now they can just go in with arthroscopic surgery and put it back together.
But how many male parts have to be cut off before you are a woman enough to be competing in female athletic events?
For strictly athletic events, I would assume it would have to be cut off both the testicles and do it before the first pubic hair sprouts.
So
maybe we'll be talking fair, but even then,
yeah,
even then, I mean, now we're just on the same line as the Russian competitors juicing a whole lot of steroids, but they're going off of it in just enough time that their piss is clean.
Right. Exactly. And then you've got, it just strikes me as disingenuous to make these kind of, you know, it's like the whole thing where they're, I don't know, it's, they have ulterior motives.
The big thing about it is when it comes to like sports competitions, I mean, it's one of those, like, I mean, it's, you know, nobody watches the WNBA for a reason. It's not because people hate chicks. It's because they're just not, you know, it's just not as good a sport as the women.
Right.
We had at the University of Maine when I was there, we had a goddamn fucking terrible men's basketball team, and we had one of the top ranked women's basketball teams. And guess what? The men were more entertained to watch because they got the ball in the hoop more often. I mean, it's just, you know, it has nothing to do with gender roles. It has nothing to do with any of this shit. It's just has to do with pure physicality.
Yeah. You know, when I was in middle school, which here middle school is fifth through eighth grade, there was a girl on the football team. And she was a big bruiser kind of girl. In Ireland, we'd call her a colchi, which is like a big burly kind of girl. You know, she's thick and... Anyway, so
we call those county girls in Maine.
Okay, a county girl.
Hat tip to all the people in Maine.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So she was in middle school. She was on the football team, And she was actually really great in middle school. And she was on the team and she qualified and everybody was like, rah, rah. You know, she was really accepted and they let her play in the games and the whole deal. But as soon as she got, you know, moved up to high school, she couldn't hack it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boys, you know, in middle school, you got that kind of like kind of iffy area where the girls are kind of the same size as the boys. And the boys haven't quite caught up yet. And, you know, it's kind of like that iffy kind of area in the middle. But as soon as high school started and the boys started getting bigger and stronger, she was off the team because she couldn't do it anymore.
Well, it's similar to what the I actually remember, I think this was back in the Vicious Circle days when we had, we had old NFO on.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about women in combat roles.
Right.
And I actually had really kind of set my heart on, oh, yeah, no, women should be in combat roles. Let's not separate all this out. And he was just pointing out all this information. It was really tough for me to listen to at the time. And I haven't been able to shake it, is just talking about just the women who have qualified for, you know, as you know, on the same scale as men, how much harder they need to work. And then the moment they get to a forward position, mm-hmm. they immediately start losing that muscle mass. It's one of those that the only reason why they can make it is just by sheer hard work alone. And suddenly you give her another task to do and she's not going to be able to maintain that physical strength.
Right.
You know, it's just genetics. And yeah, I mean, you can fuck around with steroids and all that other shit. But I mean, in the end, it's pure. It's a purely artificial environment,
right?
And the argument is, if we can let a woman who's dosing herself with steroids, you know, fight in the men's league, then why can't we let the men dose themselves with steroids and just pound the ever loving fuck out of everybody and eat their heart and liver?
Sure, you know, this Ronda Rousey thing. Apparently, I guess there's what does she fight? MMA, right?
Yeah. By the way, you've got to be a good MMA fighter for your job is punching people and you look that good.
She is
amazing. A very, very pretty lady. And yep. what she does for a living is not conducive for pretty ladies.
I don't know. Weird. No. Did you see the video of her last fight?
Sure did.
She didn't take long. The ref had to pull her off of that other woman. She was not stopping.
She knocked her out.
Well, I also saw where she allegedly did not break the arm of this person, but that arm would bent a completely different way on one of her previous fights. And she just fucked the ever-loving shit out of this other woman. And again, kept her face perfectly pristine. But if you saw the press conference afterwards, yeah, no, the other lady ain't so pretty no more.
Well, I guarantee you I wouldn't last 2 seconds with her, so...
Yeah.
You know.
I guess there is a transsexual MMA fighter who used to be a man and is now fighting as a woman. And Fallon Fox is her name, which kind of was weird for me, but used to fight as a man but transitioned and became a woman and is fighting as a woman. And I guess as a man, she was kind of like a mediocre fighter, but she's starting to get in the ring with women now. And she's causing like serious damage. Like, I guess her last fight, she broke somebody's like orbital bone and caused them to have stitches and a concussion. And just, there's like this disparate kind of strength. I don't know if it's like, you know, leverage or reach or whatever it is, but it titles or anything.
Yep.
as a woman, but still, I mean, she's doing like really pretty good damage to her opponents now.
I would, if, I mean, I, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't fight her. I mean,
no, Ronda Rousey will not fight her.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. And she won't fight. I don't think she will. I don't think she'll fight men either. I think people want her to fight men, but I don't think she will.
But that's stupid.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I just read through her Wikipedia page, and she had her testicles cut off, so therefore, yeah, she is at a hormonal imbalance, so long as she's not juicing, which, let's face it, she probably might be, probably is of some sort. But that would definitely put her at disadvantage at the male in the male fighters as well.
But, yeah,
I mean, again, it's one of those things of the, I mean. They've had all these Olympics where the various men, slight bodied men, you know, posed as women, and you know they failed the polar. You know, they do the cheek swab for the women. And if you come up with polar bodies in there, which means that you've got a Y sex hormone, you're out.
Right.
Right.
And she has polar bodies, so yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's not like back in what was it like in the 70s or something? They did a Battle of the Sexes tennis match between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. And it was like, you know, it's a Battle of the Sexes, you know, they weren't like punching them each other in the face.
Yeah.
You know, sure, you can have these like matches, whatever, but I think the stakes are higher when you're getting punched in the face by someone who used to be a dude.
Yeah, an athletic competition that involves more finesse and then brute strength.
Right.
Is probably more of an equal match. But I mean, even in tennis there's a brute strength component.
Sure.
I mean,
now let's just go a little bit further to like a little bit more important test. I've looked at pictures of both. And while I wouldn't last 5 minutes in the ring with either one of it, I would not want to spend any time with Fallon Fox, but I wouldn't mind spending a little bit of time with Ronda Rousey. And that is important to say.
Are you making a innuendo here?
I'm saying one of them's a pretty lady and the other one is not.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, she's not as bad as most. She's not. She's no Zoe Tor.
Yeah.
But or Caitlyn Jenner. But still, that's a dude.
That's a man, baby. Sorry. Somebody had to do Austin Powers.
And some pretty bad fake tits too. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Do they make good ones?
No, not in my opinion, but those are egregiously bad. Not that I'm an expert. Oh, I hear crickets. You know what? It must be time to end the show.
I think it is.
I think so.
The crickets are singing. Yeah, Sean Sorrentino. That's a good one. Sean said in the chat, Sean said, I'd take a Rousey punch if she promised to kiss it better.
You know,
she is super pretty.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby knows what it takes to knock Ronda Rousey out.
Yeah. Oh, Jay.
Hi-oh! And the crickets. Yep. Perfect.
The crickets.
All right, guys. It's time to say goodnight to you, Internet.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Yep. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Bye.